Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
And so we're talking about distractions. And last week, Patrick talked about what it is to look at the distraction of creating the perfect moment. How much stress that can be, how difficult it can be to try to create something that is perfect and awesome and enjoyable and nostalgic, and how that's really challenging and not actually the point of why we celebrate Christmas. Instead, he encouraged us to be present, to have intentionality with why we're doing what we're doing, both in what we give materially and also what we give in ourselves of being present. That was his encouragement to us last week. So this week, we're going to talk about a few more distractions. We've been talking a lot about Christmas in my house. They're going to put a picture up on the screen. This is a picture of my family. That's my wife, Andrea, and my daughter, Lane. She's 7, and my son, Hudson. He's 4. Isn't he cute? All right, don't get fooled. Don't get fooled, all right? No, they're phenomenal. I'm super blessed. But we're talking about Christmas in our house right now, and my wife and I get the privilege and the challenge of trying to describe and explain to my kids, what is Christmas actually about? What is it that we're celebrating? What is it that we're spending our time and our energy and our attention on? We get the chance to try to teach them that, not only with our words, but also our actions and how we spend time together. And one of the ways that we choose to do that is we use an Advent calendar, because it gives some structure and it gives something to keep us on track. I want my kids to sit down every morning and go, Dad, we can't wait to go through the Advent calendar and listen and pay attention and go, tell me about Jesus. I wish that's how it would go, right? Now, they're excited and they want to do it, not because they get a treat with it, which they could, and they do sometimes, but we try to do that because we care about them, and they're going to do as we lead. But oh my goodness, the amount of distractions that we have trying to go through the Advent calendar with our kids. And I'm tired, I'm hungry, she looked at me, right? What's my name again? How old are you? What's my favorite color? What's that thing over there, right? Every second we try to read the scripture all day long. It's distractions. Now that might be true about our kids, and it is, but it's also true about us. No matter what age we are, what stage we're in, there's the ability for us to get caught up in distractions all the time to keep us off of the main thing. Why we celebrate Christmas? What is the meaning of Christmas? What are we willing to do for others, with others, as God would have us? So this morning, we're going to talk about a few different distractions. And this week, it's going to be about stuff, things, materials, consumerism, commercialism, those distractions that are right there for us. Not only are they right there for us, they're actually imposed on us a ton, right? So I'm going to read a couple definitions. They're going to be in your notes there just to cue us up a little bit to be thinking about what actually is this distraction. And it's going to be on the screen as well. It's in your notes. The first one is materialism, right? Materials. And the definition is, it's an attitude of someone who attaches a lot of importance to money and wants to possess a lot of material things. And here's what I think is important. It's talking about an attitude of a person. It's the heart. It's the motivation. The why. Materialism is an attitude that says how much? A lot of attention on money and a lot of things. Stuff. Motivation, materialism. All right, the second one on there is consumerism. What's the root word of that? To consume. Consume, 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 consume. The definition there is going to be the situation in which, again, too much attention is given to buying and owning things. Notice how it doesn't say any attention, but it says too much attention to buying and owning stuff, things, materials. And again, the word is to consume, right? To have, to consume, too much, to have, too much, things, stuff. Consumerism. And lastly, I think the combination of those two things is commercialism. Commercials, right? When you think commercial, you think TV, you think advertisement. Hey, look, lights, wow, woo, hey, get your attention. It's consumed, it's materials, and it's wrapped up in what we would say is commercialism. This definition is fascinating. It's the possibility of, within the open market of capitalism, that means the ability to buy and sell. It's the possibility to exploit objects, people, or an environment for private gain for the purpose of generating profit. It's the opportunity. It doesn't mean that you can, when you can buy and sell things, that it's always bad all the time. That's not what it says. But it's the opportunity within that system to do what? It says, exploit people, objects, or an environment, maybe a season, maybe a holiday, exploit it for personal gain in the form of profit. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. Do you think, when you look around, in your home maybe, in our city for sure, in our culture you bet, that Christmas has been exploited for personal gain and profit? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it has. How did it get there? Right? I think there's a lot of reasons why it gets there. One, I think, is because we have a very intentional enemy that gets us there. No matter how we find ourselves, no matter what situation it is, the enemy works the same all the time. The only thing he can do is take a good, great, fantastic thing of God and trick us to thinking that it's not. To tempt us to do it in a way that we shouldn't. To say, this is a great thing, are you really sure? All he needs to do is get us off a little bit. But when we get off a little bit in the beginning, over time, where do we end up? Way off. Way off. And so the enemy is smart. And here's the lie that he's trying to get us to believe, both us in the culture and in the church, is that you can get something that is wired inside of you in a means other than how God wants you to have it. You can get that happiness, that joy, those relationships, all that stuff. You absolutely can get it if you do it like this. Sound familiar? Sounds like Adam and Eve to me. Sounds like the temptation of Jesus to me. All those things that you want, that you desire, that God has created you to get, you can get it. But let me tell you how you're going to get it. More. More. Something that started out good, which is a clear picture of Christmas and the cross, just put a little decoration on it. It's really fun, right? Hey, get a Christmas tree. That's not bad in of itself, is it? But let's get two. Let's put some lights on it. Hey, let's get some gifts, one or more. And the reason why I think we can get distracted and consumed is because we're trying to get something in the wrong way. It's not a bad thing to give. It's not a bad thing to have. It's not a bad thing to celebrate at all. But man, it can be dangerous if we get off track and we get distracted and we do it for the wrong reasons. See, this Christmas, our opportunity, as we talk about distractions, is to choose today that our Christmas is going to be about Jesus. And that we want to be blessed and be a blessing to other people rather than be consumed by stuff, by materials, by the temptation to fall in line to acquire things in the way of which God does not have it for us. And here's what's important, you guys. God has designed and wired every single one of us to yearn to be loved, to have purpose, to have meaningful relationships, to be able to bless other people, to be blessed by other people, to use your giftedness, to matter. Every single one of us is designed that way. You will not get that fulfillment through stuff. I've been there. I've tried it. Maybe just a little more. Maybe just a little more. Once I get this, then I'll be okay. As soon as I have that, it'll be fine. The way in which we are blessed, the way in which God has designed us to grow, is according to his word. The heart behind it, the meaning. And here's what's awesome. Never, ever, ever forget this. God's word will always be true in every circumstance. So when we look at the temptations and we look at the distractions and we go, gosh, that absolutely is the climate outside. It's crazy. There's ads galore everywhere. What am I supposed to do? We get to look at God's word. And it'll tell us. In fact, in this specific situation, and we're going to get to do this, we're going to look at the Christmas story and go, how can I be blessed and not consumed this year? How can I celebrate Christmas like the Christmas story was written? What does that look like for me? What does that look like for us? It's in the text. And so we're going to get some takeaways on how to do that this year. We're not going to keep talking about how crazy it is out there. We're not going to keep talking about, yes, material this way, and yes, consumer that rhythm. I think we get that. Would we agree? It's there. Their stats, their stuff. We're spending over $1 trillion. Each person wants to spend at least $1,000. It's totally there, right? But we're going to look at what we can get to do instead. We're going to look at the solution. We're going to look at the response to that temptation. We're going to look at the way that we're going to overcome those distractions this year, should we choose to do that. You guys good for that? Okay. Here's one thing that God has brought to light. Each and every time I look at his word, yes, it's true, but I also learn a whole bunch of new stuff every time. Every time, even in the Christmas story. I've read the Christmas story. I've watched the Christmas story. Oh my gosh, how many times the Christmas story? I read it again in preparation for this. I learn a whole bunch of new stuff every time. So I ask you a couple questions. See if you know the Christmas story, right? And then we'll tie it together. So, question for you. Christmas story, there's lots of people and stuff happening. At one point in this Christmas story, there's these fellas called the wise men, okay, or the magi. How many wise men were in the Christmas story? Three. We don't know. Can I get four? Five, six, 17, 32, sold. We don't know. Because it's not in the text. What we do know is that there were wise men. And they did go and visit Jesus and Mary. But we don't know how many. All we do know is that magi is plural. More than one. Okay, let's go on this magi track. So we know there were some, not how many. When did they go visit Jesus and Mary? Right. We saw a star, it's in the text. Right. Again, we don't know. What we do know is that it was probably within a 0 to 2 year period after because of the decree. We don't know exactly when. We do know that they were not there on the night that he was born. Huh. Doesn't sound like the Christmas story that I know and that I see around. Lastly, on the Magi story, we don't know necessarily. Do you know where they were? Do you know where they met him? In a house. That's it, in the house, because it's in the text. Wasn't in the manger. We don't know if it was Egypt, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, whatever. There's good inclinations to think it could be that. We don't know. So if that's true, how is it that we can so easily go, Christmas story, wise men, there were three at the manger the night he was born. How is it that we can so quickly think that that's the reality of the Christmas story? It's on TV, right? It's commercialized. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. What I am saying is that is a really great, good thing that's just a little bit off, right? And I go, how have I seen that? Maybe it's a Christmas show that I'm watching that was supposed to be well-intended, but just kind of got distracted. Maybe somebody bought the super duper triple saver Walmart Christmas card special in October that had a picture of three wise men in the manger on the night Jesus was born and gave it to you. And in a good, well-intended way, you're like, that must be true, right? I don't know how we get there, but I know how we get away from that. And so we're going to look at three parts of the Christmas story, and there's three ideas, truths, responses that we can have at Christmas to be blessed and be a blessing to others and not consumed. not consume and overwhelm others, not fall in line. You want to look at it? I do. Okay, here we go. It's going to be in your notes there. The first one that we're going to look at and talk about is going to be the interaction between Mary and Elizabeth. Mary and Elizabeth. And in a little bit of context, Mary at this point has already had an interaction with the angel, and she knows that she is going to be with child Jesus. She will be pregnant. Elizabeth is her relative, and she is pregnant with what is going to be John the Baptist. John the Baptist and Jesus are going to be cousins. So this is their interaction. And here's what we're going to take away from this part of the story. This is like early Christmas story, right? Because what's the Christmas story about again? What is it? The actual event of what? The birth of Jesus Christ, Messiah. That's what Christmas is. So this is leading up to that event. And here's the takeaway from this part of the story is that at Christmas time, God wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be a blessing to someone else. Let's see how we get that from this text right here. Luke 1:39 through 49. At the time Mary got ready to be hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Holy is his name. Here's the first and most important fact on this piece of the story and the whole story. God has first gifted you and me and every person that would choose to receive it the best gift ever, Jesus Christ, Messiah. God with us, Emmanuel, God has given us that gift in Jesus' birth, which will eventually give us salvation on the cross. God gives good gifts first. He's given us the greatest gift we could have. And he's given it in such a way as to be intentional that we can notice. He knows you and I. He knows how he made you. He knows what you need. He knows what's hard for you. He knows the greatest thing that every single one of us needs first and foremost is salvation, a savior. And he has gifted us Jesus first. And in this story, what is the result of choosing to believe and receive and have Jesus? Blessing. Blessing. When Elizabeth comes in interaction with Mary, who has Jesus, who's going to be the mother of Jesus, what's her reaction? What does she say? What does she exclaim? What happens? The baby inside, "Oh my gosh, we're so blessed because of Jesus. Thank you for coming to meet with me because of Jesus. Mary, you're going to be blessed. The baby's going to be blessed. And eventually, all nations will be blessed by the gift that has been given in Jesus Christ." For you and I this year, what would it look like for us to go, "God has given me the greatest gift, the celebration of Jesus born in a manger," and choose to believe that receiving that is the best gift ever? Acknowledging the fact that if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can say, "God has been mindful of me and has given me Jesus." And this Christmas is the story about that birth, about that event. Let me think about and believe and receive what Jesus means to me. Man, am I blessed. Thank you. And what would it look like for us to potentially have that conversation with someone else. To go, I've been blessed. Look how you've been blessed. The exchange between Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth notices how Mary has been blessed and what God is going to do in her life. What would it look like this Christmas to celebrate Christmas by saying, God has blessed me, and I want to bless somebody else by calling out what is true about what God has done and is going to do in their life. What is true about what God has done and is going to do in their life, just like Elizabeth tells Mary. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it can be really hard to speak truth and blessing to somebody else. That can be tough. That can be tough to call out something in somebody to say, wow, look at what God has done in your life. Look what he saved you from. Look what he's done with you. Look what he's allowed you to do. That conversation can be difficult. It can be hard to have a conversation like that with people, especially a relative in this case, right? Maybe we don't feel equipped to do so. That's okay. Will you trust him? I think about sharing the blessing. There's an instance that comes to my mind, right? And there's a point I need to make before I share this piece because it's super important, okay? Do you agree that a biblical resources can help prove a biblical point? You believe that, right? Like Jim talks about Polycarp and Clement and early fathers. It's a non-biblical text that helps prove a point. Sometimes we use some other examples. So you're in, yes, a non-biblical source can help prove a point. Okay, good. We're clear on that. Next question. Have you ever seen the movie, I think it's a documentary, on Christmas? No joke, they like filmed a real family. It's called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You already agreed that this is the true, okay? It's documented, it's true. There's a scene in this movie, right? Because this has been a disaster the whole time. There's a scene in this movie, they're sitting around the dinner table, if you've seen this, if not, right? And they're gonna pray for their meal. But what they say is, do you wanna give the blessing? Share the blessing with someone else, right? And who do they pick to share the blessing? The grandma, it's Aunt Bethany, right? And somebody's like, okay, time for the blessing. Family's there, food's there, perfect Christmas. Let's share blessing with each other. And Aunt Bethany's up. Bethany, you're up. Boom, right? Everybody's ready to pray. Aunt Bethany does what? She starts reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Right, people are looking up. What is she doing, right? And then there's the fantastic like family member, Cousin Eddie, blue leisure suit, kind of a big man, stands up. What's he do? Okay? Guys, that could be your Christmas. That might be the way that you respond if God says, will you share a blessing with someone else? Maybe that's the best you got. Give it the best you got. Maybe you're telling jokes. Maybe you're doing something. But here's the point of the first part of this. Will you find a way to speak blessing into somebody's life for Christmas? Will you find a way to say, God, thank you that you've given me Jesus. Look at how that's blessed me and changed me. Can we celebrate that this year? Be blessed and not consumed. Let's move on. The second one we're going to look at, more of the Christmas story in context, is going to be out of Luke 2. And the idea in Luke 2 here is that we get the opportunity, in response to the greatest gift in Jesus at Christmas, to give praise in worship as a response. Let's see what happens here. Luke 2, 15 through 20, we're talking about the shepherds in this part of the Christmas story. Said, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The second concept from the Christmas story that we can choose to participate in a way to be blessed is God asked us is to respond to the truth about the story, to give praise and glory and honor and worship to God for what he has done in Jesus. See, the first one is to acknowledge that blessing that he's done it. The second one is to do something about it. Like the shepherds, they went. They heard the story from the angels about what this Jesus was going to be. And in response to that, they said, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. We got to see it. They made a decision to act on what they had heard is true. And when they get there, your Christmas party, your living room on Christmas morning, your in-laws, when they get there, what do? We got to tell you about what we heard about Jesus. Let me tell you what I believe about Jesus. Let me tell you what I've heard about him. Let me tell you what's true about him. And as they do that in the story, what's the response of the people that hear it? They were amazed. They heard about Jesus. And Mary treasured it in her heart. And after the shepherds did that, they went away glorifying God and worshiping him. What would it look like this Christmas for us to be willing to go into the place wherever we spend it and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about my story. Let me tell you about what I know is true about Jesus, the gospel. Maybe it's your testimony. Are you willing to go, I'm going to glorify and praise God for Jesus Christ, Messiah, this Christmas? Talking about testimony, just as difficult as it can be to give blessing, holy cow, if you're willing to trust God in it, he can do phenomenal things. As much and as difficult as it can be to sit down with somebody and speak blessing over them, truth to them. Look what God has done in you. This is what I love about you. Look at how God got us out of this. Look at how he got maybe blessed by the truth of Jesus. The same power can be in the story of you going, let me tell you about what I believe about Jesus the Son. Let me give you my story. Let me give you my testimony. This is about Jesus this Christmas. Not this, not that, not this, Jesus. And will you praise him? Be blessed and not consumed at Christmas this year. It's in the text. Time for the fun one. All right, third, here we go. Gifts. Yes, you can give gifts. Yes, you can give gifts. Why? Because it's in the text. It's in the story. The giving of gifts is in the Christmas story. God has written it that way. He has shown us that way. He's given us a model for it, an example for it. How, what, when, why? It's all in the story. So lest you feel guilty about the fact of what you've already purchased this year, that's okay. But I hope that what you'll hear and see in this is that there's a way in which you can give it, and how and why. And you know what? You can take stuff back too if you want to. That's okay. And they'll actually give you your money back. That's an option. Let's look at the text and talk about what and why we give gifts. Matthew 2. This is the wise men's response to Jesus, Messiah. Verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, the Magi, wise men, plural, from east came to Jerusalem and they said, where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said secretly and found out from the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen while it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they give gifts? Why did they give gifts? What was the reason? In response to what? Jesus. Jesus being born, the fulfillment of prophecy, the Messiah, in celebration, in worship, in response, they gave gifts. Who were the gifts for? Joseph? Mary? Who did they give the gifts to? They presented him with gifts. The gifts are for Jesus. It's Jesus' birthday. The gifts are for him. By the way, do you know of any other person ever that when it's their birthday, you get presents? Like, hey, Craig, it's your birthday. What'd you get me, right? This is super funny. My wife actually asked me that. It's a joke we play. It's a term of endearment. She'll come up to me and go, hey, what'd you get me for your birthday? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, it's my birthday. Okay, Christmas is Jesus' birthday. Yet the Magi, the wise men, in response to that truth, presented gifts for Jesus and to him, but the beneficiary is who? Mary and Joseph. The giving of gifts in response to Jesus is to Jesus, for Jesus, in worship of Jesus, in awe of the King, Messiah, Majesty, Savior. And God is so good and generous and benevolent that he says, give to others on my behalf. You get to be the beneficiary of good gifts because people are thankful for Jesus. That's why we give. How did they give? When they showed up, they find Jesus, he's there. They've said, this is for Jesus, but you get to be the beneficiary. It says when they arrived, what kind of a state were they in? Joy-filled, bowed down, and thanksgiving and praise. That's a generous, benevolent, thankful, intentional way to give a gift to someone. Right, I try to think about when I have to go buy gifts. Xavier just said have to buy gifts. That totally gives it away. When I have to go buy gifts for people and give it to them, I have to understand the motive of my heart. And oftentimes, it's not that. It's because I feel compelled like I'm supposed to, or I have to. Or if I don't go give gifts to this person, maybe this person will give them a gift, and then they'll think less of me because I didn't get them a gift of the magnitude or amount that they did. So here, it's actually spiteful, kind of upset about it, kind of want them to know how much it cost me to get them that thing. Ugh, I'm just being honest. What does it look like to present a gift to somebody as the Magi did? This is to you on behalf of Jesus. I'm giving you this because I'm celebrating Jesus is born. This is for you, but it's actually for him, for you, for him. What did they give? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Did that matter? Does it matter what they give? Were they like, oh, well, I just got this at my Christmas party last night, right, from my work, and so here you go. Merry Christmas. Oh, hey, sorry, you know, I didn't know that you don't have a dog. My bad. Like, doesn't actually mean anything. The gifts that they gave were absolutely intentional. Thought through, meaningful, had purpose. The text says it was out of their treasures they gave. The first one is gold. Gold is an expensive commodity then and now. In fact, we think that it probably funded their trip to Egypt. Gold is a symbol of royalty, and they gave that to Jesus. There's a couple notes exactly in here. I want to read it just to not skip over it. Right? The gift of gold to Jesus was a symbol of his divinity. They're acknowledging Jesus, born, your God. This gift speaks it. Frankincense is a white resin. It comes from a tree. They used it for embalming, but it was burned, and it was also used as a form of worship, as incense. Giving it to Jesus was acknowledging his willingness to be a sacrifice, his righteousness, his holiness. That's what it meant when they gave it to him. In myrrh, in a very similar fashion, is another fragrance, comes from a tree. You mix it together with wine, and it actually is kind of a stupefying potion. Ended up giving it again later to him when he was on the cross. That's what it was. Giving it to Jesus was a symbol of bitterness, suffering, and affliction that he was going to endure for you and I on the cross to save us. What would it look like for us this year when we give our gifts to actually think about it? To actually go, I'm giving this to you and it matters. I'm giving this to you because this actually has something to do with who you are. Or better yet, what you want to be about. Could we do that? Could we be willing to do that? Or is it, well, I guess it's the iPhone 10 because my 7-year-old said they had to have it. That's kind of funny, but it's kind of not. Can we be intentional with our gift giving? This is a super important piece I want to draw out of this part too with the Magi. How did they get to Jesus to give him their gifts? Who did they have to go through? Herod. Herod wanted to be the king of the Jews. They had to go through Herod to say, where's Jesus? Here's where I think he is. We're going to go. We're going over here. They had to travel a long distance. They had to follow a star. They had to be able to go through the guy that was actually trying to get Jesus just to give him the gifts. I think about my Christmas and I go, what am I willing to go through to give gifts of significance to those that I love? Am I willing to go through someone that might not believe in Jesus? Am I willing to sit through that in my living room? Am I willing to go through somebody? Am I willing to travel great distances and work hard to figure out, does this gift matter for them? Can I do it? They did. Am I willing to endure that? Am I willing to go, this environment has potential to be a disaster? Documentary, National Lampoon's, just like that. That might be your Christmas. You might be the only one that's choosing to celebrate Jesus in that environment for your Christmas. If you are, you will be blessed because you're obedient to what is true about what God says is Christmas. Jesus. Jesus. I was talking to my son in preparation for this. Hudson, 4, cute, careful, cute. I said, Hudson, what's Christmas about? He didn't answer. Hudson, what's Christmas about? Presents. Dang it. Okay. What about the presents? We give gifts. How come, buddy? We need to go to Target. Like, where's my wife at? What have you been teaching him in Advent, right? We need to go to Target. I said, why do we need to go to Target? He says, we need to get gifts for the kids. I'm like, who's the kids? Who are these kids he's talking about? I said, why do we have to get gifts for the kids, bud? And he said, because Jesus wants everyone to have the blessings. Oh. He's right. Jesus wants everyone to have the blessings. You, people you spend Christmas with, people that don't know about him yet, And he can give it to him if he can use you. This Christmas, will you believe and choose to be blessed and be a blessing to somebody else, even when it's hard? Will you give the gift of praise and worship and action and testimony to others that need to hear it? And because God gives good gifts to you and I, and he has before, will the gifts that you give matter? Will you fight to give them? Will you think through what it means? Are you willing to sacrifice from your treasures for somebody else and give them gifts that are going to matter? The gifts that you give them specifically don't matter, but what comes of it and what you do to give it to them does. We can be blessed and not consumed in Christmas this year. A couple questions to think about as we close here. Have you thought about what it is like for someone to give you a gift? What kind of a gift receiver are you? Are you that person that everybody's like, oh my gosh, I hear about it every time. I didn't want that. I don't like that. It's not what I asked for. Could you imagine what would have happened when the wise men came to Mary and they said, here's our gifts of treasure and offering. And she goes, I don't want that. Thanks for the frankincense. Right? Here's what I think they would have said. Total embellishment here. It's not for you. It's for Jesus anyway. Do you think if you considered what you already have, be willing to change your mind about what you give, what your expectations is of getting and giving? There's a sweet video that's out there about this, and we're going to watch it as we end the service to keep us mindful about the types of gifts we have and give. Let's watch it.
I'm alive! I'm alive! Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, Christine! You're here too! I love you!
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming, it goes on and off! Whenever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great! Look at that!
Ooh! I bet I know what this does!
Rain down there, gold! I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah! Oh, yeah! Hey, Christine! You're here too! I love you!
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming, it goes on and off! Whatever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great! Look at that!
Ooh! I bet I know what this does!
Rain down the glorious water!
Ah, shoes.
Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food!
I love food.
What? A booth room?
You want to have work?
And
this is awesome! Look, look at here.
Dee, the what?
Josh, be careful!
Ooh. I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
A car!
And don't forget your coffee!
You're the best.
It's pretty good. We're going to end our service time together. We're going to worship God.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.